Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Paul has been leading us through how to avoid taxes, estate taxes in specifics. Last few shows, we got into some new terms. And Paul, this is a very interesting discussion.
Yeah, and very necessary. In past shows, I've talked about that there's no changes coming to Washington State estate tax. So that's going to rest still at the same number, about $2.2 million. So as a reminder, if you have more than that, then your estate might be subject to an estate tax in Washington. The federal limit is very high right now, $11.7 million. So that means you can have up to that and it will be exempt from federal estate taxes. But Bernie Sanders has made proposals, the 99.5% Act, that brings that number down to $3.5 million. In that proposal, he also raises the estate tax to 45%. So that means if someone has more than $3.5 million, you may be subject to a 45% tax on anything over that amount. So a simple math tells me that if you have $4.5 million and you do no planning at all, the federal estate tax, if the proposal is passed, so it's still in proposal mode, that if it is passed, that you will owe $450,000, or rather your estate would owe $450,000 to the federal government when you pass away. For me, that's a pretty steep tax. And estate taxes are really imposed upon individuals who don't plan. So the beauty about this particular tax over almost any other tax is that we can actually plan to mitigate or eliminate those taxes. And past shows we've talked about, so you can head over to legacyandfaith.com. You can get our previous shows that have talked about the estate tax changes coming down the pike. And even last week, we talked about beginning some of the tools that we would use to help change and shift estate taxes away from being collected back to your family or back to charities. In other words, whatever vision God has given you, we want to make sure that that vision is implemented. So it is of utmost importance that you have a family plan design, that you've created a family legacy, and that that legacy can be instituted and implemented to be carried out generationally. Well, if you have been blessed that God has authored you to have money and to have finances at your disposal, then good stewardship, in my opinion, says we need to plan. So as always, the first call to action is you must take a step of action. You can't just sit on your laurels. It's not going to work. So last week we talked about what is an irrevocable life insurance trust. We spent some decent amount of time on life insurance. That is one tool that can be used. And there are several others that we want to get to today. And so so let's start talking about some of the other tools.
Okay, that was the ILIT. Yep. The next one is the TCLAT.
The TCLAT, the Testamentary Charitable Lead Annuity Trust. So let's break down those words kind of word by word so that we can see the full picture of what this type of tool actually does. So testamentary, it means that when you die, the instrument that you use, whether it's a will or whether it's a trust, that becomes your testamentary object. And so the instructions are placed within the testamentary instrument. So I utilize trusts primarily. So this tool would be inside of your estate planning tool, your trust. So testamentary charitable. So in other words, we're going to be charitably minded. The charity is going to actually receive some of your funds when you pass away, the funds that are over the exclusion amount. So as a reminder, an exclusion amount is how much money is excluded from estate tax. In Washington, 2.2. Currently on federal, $11.7 million. With the proposal, $3.5 million. So those are a lot of numbers. But the bottom line is that if you have more than that amount, then we're going to start being charitably minded, which can be a phenomenal opportunity. Look, here's what the federal government has done. As a matter of fact, it's being done in your income taxes all the time as well, which is if you are charitably minded, if you regularly support a charity, the taxing system says, we like you and we're going to honor you. How we're going to honor you is that we're not going to impose a tax on that amount that you've given to charity. Now, in an income tax world, it doesn't work exactly dollar for dollar. It actually saves however much of your tax bracket you are actually giving from. And so so it's not exactly a dollar for dollar system. So in other words, if I give $100, I don't get to take off $100 from my income.
What is that percentage? Well, it depends on.
Yeah, it depends on what you're taxed out. So it's right. So it's individual, person to person. But also nowadays, we get a much higher amount that we can just automatically claim as our deductible. So therefore, our deduction. So therefore, many people have stopped itemizing on their 1040. But if you still itemize, then the federal government says, if you give to charities, we will give you a benefit. Okay. It's the same thing in estate tax planning. Mm-hmm. If you have more than the exemption amount, then the state and federal government say, you owe us a tax. But if you are going to be generous, we will allow you to deduct your generosity from the estate. Now, this is where it's a little bit different than income tax, because we actually do get to take a dollar for dollar exemption from the value. So if I give $1 million away and I'm worth $10 million, then the federal government's going to say, oh, Paul only has $9 million, because I gave $1 million away. So it's a dollar for dollar attribute instead of a progressive system like the income tax is. So being charitably minded is not only great for God's kingdom, because hopefully you are giving to places that are proclaiming the good news and are having a great effect in the world for God's kingdom purposes. So that's great. But you also get – it's a great planning opportunity in estate planning in general. So so number one, if we kind of do a quick step backwards and go back to the Irrevocable Life Insurance Trust, then what that is doing is it's removing the policy out of your estate. In other words, you've gifted the policy. So the trust gets your cash. Here, you keep control of everything in your life. And by planning, by charitable planning, when you pass away, because charities get the excess amount than what is usable, or actually what is exempt from estate tax, the government gives you a deduction. So that can be done in several ways. It can be done, actually write a check to the charity, and we'd reduce the amount. And that means the money actually leaves the estate and the charity gets however much you tell us to give. Or we can use this tool that we're talking about called a TCLAT. You thought I forgot about what I was talking about, didn't you? No, but I didn't. I don't forget. I just take the long way around. Okay. So my wife always accuses me of taking the long story route, which for women, I thought that was pleasing, that I'm actually talking a lot, but I guess not. I don't know. So here we go. We're going to get back on track. So we talked about testamentary charitable lead. So this means that the charity is going to get first crack, because it's a testamentary charitable lead annuity trust. The lead is the charity. So this means, and the annuity part is how much is the charity going to get, and the trust is the mechanism. So how this instrument works is that instead of simply writing a check to a charity, which means it's a pure absolute gift, we set up a trust that will house however much is in excess, or however much you tell us to to put into that trust. It doesn't have to be everything. It can be a certain sum. So whatever you desire, we can accomplish. And so for discussion points, and by the way, I'm not doing this math in my head. I'm making up these numbers for examples, and it is not to be taken. So anything that we talk about, as a reminder, please do not implement on your own. Please sit down with an estate and tax attorney and make sure that any tool we talk about is appropriate for your specific situation. Please do not take what I'm talking about and implement it on your own. That is not the purpose of our conversation. It is the purpose of our conversation today is to say there are options to in estate tax planning, and these are some of the tools that many estate planners can use. So number one, we can just write a check to somebody. Otherwise, we can put that money into a trust. And we go to the IRS life expectancy tables or annuity tables, excuse me, those are different tables. And we say, how much does a charity need to get on an annual basis and for how long so that we don't have to pay an estate tax on this? Mm-hmm. And the IRS has all this figured out. It's all in their table references. And so so if we give a certain sum of money into this charitable lead trust, what we are doing then is that the charity on an annual basis will have a check written to them for the amount that the IRS has told us. Simultaneously, in the background, the remaining amount of money that has not been distributed yet is being invested. And so anything that is increased in that investment that is over and above how much is being written to the charities on an annual basis will be preserved for whoever you want. Typically, we send that back to the families. So in other words, we have money that is going out to charities. That's the charitable lead annuity, and the annuity tells us how much. It's not how you're invested. It's just the chart. Money is going out on a predictable basis to the charities, which is great for charities, by the way, sure, because they can say, oh, I'm going to get this for 10 years. Fantastic. And they can begin to plan a 10-year plan with what they're going to be doing with your generosity. It's phenomenal for charities. So it's very predictable to them. But in the background, when it's invested wisely and well, then it will continue to increase the base investment amount. And that sum at the end of the term that the IRS has told us to pay the charities, there is a sum that's going to be left over. And that money can now go to your heirs and beneficiaries with no further estate tax due. Mm. And so we call this a zero estate tax planning, which is we can fully eliminate estate taxes if you want to be charitably minded and have a heart that says, I want to promote God's kingdom with what I have left over, and then the rest can go back to your family. It is a win-win for everyone involved. It's a great opportunity. And the reason we can do this is because the federal government and the state government loves it when people support nonprofit organizations, because that money is going back into society and alleviating the societal nature of support from the federal government themselves. So the government wins, the charity wins, and ultimately the family wins. But it's just that the family has to wait a little bit to get that portion of the inheritance. They get some at the beginning, the exempt part. Then the charities get the income, and then eventually it comes back to the family. It's great type of planning if you want to make sure that you don't pay estate taxes. And it's just one tool that's available in our arsenal.
Okay, solutions to avoiding an estate tax. These are pretty interesting. And if you would like to find out more information or need help with estate tax planning purposes, how do they get in touch with you, Paul?
Head over to my website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts. Educational opportunities are coming up quickly, and there's ways to communicate with us. Head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, back with more on this very interesting subject in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Many families realize that with the passing of each generation, their family legacy is disappearing and they're feeling regret. To alleviate this heartache, Memories Worth Telling writes their family story and creates a beautiful heirloom book to preserve their unique history. Go to memorieswordtelling.com to schedule your initial consultation and learn how they can capture your legacy. Once again, that's memorieswordtelling.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Legacy and Faith Show this week with Paul Grant, an interesting discussion on how to avoid paying estate taxes. We've been hearing about the ILET, and then we just left off with the TCLAT. And
I again, know, all what these acronyms.
What does TCLAT stand for again?
A Testamentary Charitable Lead Annuity Trust.
Very interesting way to avoid estate tax with an annuity. I had the question during the break about, does this all go toward one specific charity, or can it be multiple charities, or how does that work?
Yeah, so as a reminder, the annuity is simply the payment schedule. So it is not an annuity that you would potentially purchase or invest in through your financial advisor. They're the same word. It's unfortunate because if we say the word annuity, we think about how the money is invested. That is not what this annuity is talking about. But it is not an investment strategy.
But it is
strategy.
Similar in the sense that a certain amount goes every month for every year for 10 years. During that time, it's been being invested too.
Correct.
So there is money left over still.
Yes. And so a true annuity, when it's annuitized, then a predictable payment starts. That's why it's called an annuity, mm-hmm. is that it's a predictable payment. It is not talking about how it's invested. So you get multiple beneficiaries, multiple charities listed in these. So it does not have to go to one. So let's say that we had an annuity payment on an annual basis that was $100,000. So that would be a reasonable, hefty amount that was put into this TCLAT. You can split that up between 10 beneficiaries, or you can give it all to one, or you can have 20 for all I care. It doesn't matter. And by the way, you can actually split that out into different ways. You can say, I really love this ministry and they're going to get 25% of it in a year. And then this ministry is phenomenal. They're going to get 25%. And then these other five are doing great work and they're going to get the remaining 10%. And so you can divide the payment up however you want. And in addition, there are safeguards that we can put in there to where what if a organization's purpose or begins to change? And we've seen this where one organization starts out in one direction, but then they have new people come into the board and they all of a sudden they become a different organization 10 years down the road. The heartbeat that started them is not the heartbeat that they're performing. Well, there's ways that we can add in family protection so that someone can trigger to say that's no longer meeting the purpose of what the gift was intended for.
No more soup for you then.
That's right. That's right. And so there's ways to protect the gift and ensure that it's actually being given to organizations that are fulfilling the vision of the person who started this instrument to begin with.
But this also ties up this chunk of money then for a set amount of time.
Yes. And so it's a really good point because there are some negatives. You know, with every positive, there's always a back end that we have to look at the potential negatives or the possible rubs. And so what are the potential negatives? Well, The potential negatives are, number one, the beneficiary's weight. So they get an initial sum, the exemption amount, but then they have to wait for that annuity term to end before they get their second one. Now, you may look at that and say, that's a great positive, because my kids or my beneficiaries will get something at the beginning, and then they're going to wait for a period of years, and then they're going to get a second inheritance. That could be a huge positive on how – it just depends on which viewpoint you look at the lens, correct? So you're helping charities in between, and then your beneficiaries ultimately get another one coming down the pike.
And this is all, though, again, to avoid paying any estate tax.
Yeah, that's right. This is – again, this can be – a way to fully eliminate estate taxes. Mm-hmm. Now, other negatives is that it actually puts your beneficiaries, your final beneficiaries, usually your kids or other people that you've named in your estate plan, it puts them at risk for the investments. So, as a reminder, how this is working is that money on an annual basis is going out to different charities. You can make it quarterly if you want. I typically don't do monthly because the administrative costs start to increase a little bit. So it is actually the least expensive to do an annual distribution. Quarterly is fine as well. So money is going out to the charities every year. And in the background, the principal that has not been given out yet is still invested. And so that is working in the background through the market. Well, sometimes markets go up like they have over the past years, and sometimes they go down. Mm. And so if indeed we hit consecutive down markets, then we may not have as much as what we were hoping for to pass off to your final beneficiaries. Mm-hmm. So in other words, all the investment risks land on the shoulders of your kids or final beneficiaries. The charities get the absolute predictable income
like a
amount.
Normal annuity.
Yep, that's
which
right.
Which is how an annuity works.
Yes,
yeah.
So they get the absolute payment, and then the risk falls to the beneficiaries. So that is one potential thing that that is a concern. The other thing that we have to think about is, what assets do you have? And so if you have a commercial building, that may not be a great asset to dump into this this TCLAT, because it may not be able to produce the income needed to make the payments, which means we'd actually ultimately have to sell the building. And so so if your estate has unique or very restricted assets, this may be a prohibitive asset to actually fulfill the plan as far as this type of planning. And then if we have very, very high interest rates at your passing away, that also highly influences what the payments are going to look like, because part of the mathematical formula in determining what the annuity amount is for charities is derived off of the interest rate. So right now it's a great environment to use this. Of course, you have to die to use it, so that's a bad environment. But it's a great environment for interest rates. They will continue to go up. It's still good, but you know, if we're back in the early 80s when interest rates were just out the roof, this would not be a good instrument to be utilizing, because the payments would be so high, it would almost be impossible to maintain the payments, let alone have anything left over for your beneficiaries. Mm. So there are some factors involved in making this decision. But again, that's why we need to sit down, look at your specific assets, have specific information given to you about the tool to make sure that it's the right tool for your vision, for your family, and for your purposes, whether it's for charity or for family. Mm-hmm. And so, so again, we don't want to just take something that we're talking about and beginning to implement it. This is food for thought. And it really is intended to put a fire under your feet. We'll say your feet. Fire under your feet to begin you in motion. Okay? Because an estate tax is optional. We can do planning to make sure that your estate tax is eliminated or highly mitigated. But we can do nothing if you do nothing at all. And so, look, there's two major ways that you can mitigate or eliminate estate taxes. Number one, you can give assets away. Again, even with that statement, giving your house away, giving assets away, giving business interests away. When it's not done right, you do more harm than good. Trust me, I've seen it over and over and over. So sit down with an estate and tax attorney. Get something moving forward. It's too valuable. God has given you a great resource. Utilize it to the fullness of building his kingdom and protecting your wealth within your family. And so if you want more information, head over to the website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts. There's upcoming educational sessions and ways to communicate with us. So it's been, hopefully this has been useful talking about taxes, but head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com.
Kind of technical, but of course, taxes are technical, yep. And that's why you need somebody who's a technician, and that is who Paul Grant is, estate and tax planning attorney Paul Grant. Again, more details at legacyandfaith.com. Always great information on the Legacy and Faith Show on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.